Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? For those of you who do not know me, my name is Josh Langford. I'm one of the youth in the youth group, and I've been given the opportunity to preach this morning at the water. It's been a pretty incredible past 5 months or so for me. Really seeing the Lord work in my life and in the lives of those around me in some pretty cool ways, just with opportunities to speak at youth, the youth group, and then Youth Sunday. And then Steve actually asked me if a few weeks ago if I'd preach at the water on the 3rd. And it's kind of funny because when I talk about youth, you know, I use the verb speak, so I speak at youth. But Steve asked if I would preach, so I'm not sure if that's a different thing or not. But a few months ago, I spoke to youth about evangelism, the spreading of our faith, the sharing of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk about evangelism this morning as well. It was something that was I really felt like the Lord had put on my heart to talk about then, and I feel that same way now. So this morning we're going to talk about evangelism because I feel like we live in a reality that there are many people in our workplaces, in our schools, in our community. There are many people who don't know Christ. Like, they might know the name Jesus Christ, but they don't know the truth of Jesus Christ, right? What he did for us on the cross, what we can have through him, what we can have with him. And so this morning we're going to talk about evangelism, the spreading of our faith, the sharing of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Before we get into that, I want to look at a few passages in the book of Romans. And I think that they'll help us to kind of set the stage for evangelism, help us kind of lead in and understand, at least that helped to understand, for me to understand the magnitude of the situation. So it's Romans chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." People are without excuse. The NLT Bible says in verse 20 that through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, so that they have no excuse for not knowing God. So according to Scripture, God has made himself known to everybody. In verse 20, what Paul's talking about here is an idea called natural revelation. So there are several ways that God speaks to us. There's natural revelation and divine revelation. Divine revelation is easy to explain, but it's kind of difficult to comprehend. This is the idea that God speaks directly to an individual. So through his word, or Paul experienced divine revelation on the road to Damascus, right? He was persecuting Christians. The Lord revealed himself on the way to Damascus, radically changed Paul's life. So that's divine revelation, God speaking directly to us. But what Paul's talking about here is natural revelation. So this is God speaking indirectly to an individual, or to all of us. So God has made himself known in all that he has created. There's evidence of God in all of creation. Psalm 19 talks about how the knowledge of God in creation is universal. So whether people choose to accept that or reject that, God has made himself known to everybody. I've heard it explained this way. You know of God through natural revelation, and you experience God through divine revelation. So this first truth, God has made himself known to everybody. And then I'm going to skip a chapter to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." So that's kind of intense, but basically we are all guilty of sin, right? Is anybody here perfect? I know I'm not. I know I'm guilty of sin. I mess up all the time. And so And so we have all essentially turned our back on God. David talks about in Psalm 143, verse 2, that he writes that no one living is righteous before God. We are unrighteous. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And so we have these two truths, that God has made himself known to everybody, and we have all sinned and fallen short of his glory. And unfortunately, simply knowledge of God is not sufficient to receive salvation because of the fact of sin in our lives, right? So just because someone knows about God doesn't mean they're saved because of sin. And so if the message were to end right here this morning, if the Bible were to end right here, that wouldn't be good, right? That would end kind of dark. But the good news is this morning that there is light, because even though we mess up, even though we continuously sin, God loves, if you don't hear anything this morning, hear this, that God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life on this earth, be crucified on a cross for our sins so we can be forgiven of our sins. He was then resurrected from the dead so that death has been defeated and we can have eternal life with God in heaven. And if that's not enough for you, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, wants to have an intimate and personal relationship with each and every one of us in this room. That's the greatest news ever. The righteous has died for the unrighteous. This is the greatest piece of knowledge that anyone could ever know. And unfortunately, there are many people that don't know this. There are many people that don't know the truth of Jesus Christ. There are many people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we're going to talk about evangelism. So evangelism is the spreading of that good news. So the spreading of the gospel, first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the story of Jesus, his perfect life on this earth, his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, the gospel. It's the spreading of that through preaching or personal witness, so testimony. So evangelism could be sharing Matthew, Mark, Luke, John with someone, the story of Jesus, or evangelism could be sharing your testimony with someone. This is my encounter with Jesus Christ, how Christ changed my life, how I was this person, but through Jesus Christ, I'm now this person. It's out of love for other people. And we're going to walk through a few points. We'll do 3 points on evangelism. I'm going to jump to Romans chapter 10. Pick up in verse 13. So it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's good news. We like that, right? We believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're saved through that. And this next portion here is kind of the evangelism part. This is kind of the challenging part. Paul writes, so verse 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Verse 14, "How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" So this is kind of straightforward evangelism here, right? And there's context of who Paul is talking to at the time, but basically this is outlining the purpose of evangelism. Paul says, you can be saved by Christ, but you can't be saved by him if you don't believe in him. And how can you believe in him if you've never heard about him? And how can you hear about him if no one ever tells you about him, right? Who's gonna share the gospel if the people who know the gospel don't share the gospel? Right? Who's going to tell if the people who know don't tell? Go up to verse 9. It says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Verse 8, "It is in your mouth and in your heart that is the message concerning faith that we proclaim." Proclaim is the verb used here. So we proclaim the gospel. This isn't a whisper, right? This is a proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, of our love for Jesus Christ, of our faith. And so that's kind of the first point here is go. We have to go and tell. We have to proclaim the gospel. But as important as words are, actions are equally, if not more important. There's the famous quote, "Preach the gospel, if necessary, use words." Like, words are important in evangelism. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. He says, "Be prepared to use your words to share your faith." But living a life of Christ through your actions is absolutely essential. Read a chapter like James 2. You know, living a life of Christ through your actions, actions that reflect Christ, are absolutely necessary in evangelism and in sharing your faith. Because an act of love, an act of kindness, an act of generosity, an act of forgiveness, those are opportunities to share your faith. That's when people are the most receptive to hear what you have to say. But be sure your actions reflect your words. Like, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk, right? No one's going to listen to you tell them something that you don't live out in your own life. You have to live the gospel in order to preach the gospel. You have to be a disciple in order to make a disciple. To a lot of people, Christianity, to non-Christians and Christians alike, Christianity might seem like a bunch of rules. And there are rules. Sometimes it feels like a bunch of rules, but it's not about a list of 10 things, right? It's not about rules. It's about a relationship with our Lord and Savior, who wants to know us and for us to know Him on a personal and intimate level. We just celebrated Christmas, right? The birth of Christ. And you know, He didn't come to this world with 10 more commandments, right? He wasn't in the manger with 11 through 20, right? He came to be on this earth with us, to walk with us in the flesh, to eat with us, to drink with us, to love with us, to love us, to be in relationship with us. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship. So if we had this intimacy with Jesus Christ and we lived this out in our everyday lives, this overflowing love, this overflowing joy for Christ, then people would notice that, right? People would say, "There's something different about that person. Like, I want that." And then evangelism would be easy, because you're not trying to convince anybody of truth. They can see that truth reflected in your life by your actions. You have to be a disciple in order to make a disciple. Rick Warren, famous pastor and author, he has a quote. He says, "You cannot control the lies that people may speak about you, but you can control the truth. Live so that people have to make stuff up in order to accuse you." Like, strive for that sort of purity. So you have to be a disciple to make a disciple. That's kind of the second point. And then the third thing, evangelism, it's not just an add-on to this whole thing. It's not like welcome to Christianity. If you're interested, if you have time, check out evangelism. No. Evangelism is essential. Evangelism is a responsibility as followers of Jesus. And it's more than a responsibility. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to know the gospel, the good news of Christ, and to be able to share that with somebody. And evangelism is not just for the people in full-time ministry. It's not just for the missionaries in a foreign country. Evangelism is for everybody. Everybody is called to share the gospel, to share the good news of Christ. That's the Great Commission, right? Jesus' instruction to his disciples to share the teaching of the gospel. He talks about it in Matthew 28. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Go and make disciples of all nations. The truth is, our workplaces, our schools, our community, those are mission fields, right? That's kind of a different perspective. Panama City Beach is a different illustration of a mission field than third world Africa. I mean, those are two vastly different places, right? But the mission is the same: to make disciples, to spread the gospel, to spread the good news of Christ. And there is no time like the present to do so. I want to talk about another big point, and this is a reason that maybe sometimes as Christians we don't enjoy evangelism. Maybe, you know, for me, it's definitely something that holds me back from evangelism. It's that evangelism, it's not always an easy thing to do, right? Evangelism can be hard. Evangelism can be scary. That's a scary thing to do. A confrontation with someone about your faith or about Jesus, that can be scary. I've watched interviews with pastors, famous pastors, and they talk about how they can, you know, preach in front of a congregation, they can proclaim the name of Jesus in front of thousands of people, and yet they're terrified of a one-on-one confrontation with someone about Jesus. Evangelism can be scary, but let's put this into perspective here, because the all-powerful creator of the universe is with us, and therefore there is nothing to fear, right? There's no reason to fear a confrontation with someone about your faith. There's no reason to worry about what other people are going to think of you, because God is with us. Read Joshua chapter 1. He says it like 100 times. He tells Old Testament Joshua, he says, "Do not be afraid, because I am with you." And in the context of Joshua chapter 1, Moses had just died. Joshua had just become the leader of the Israelites. He had just gained responsibility of all of God's people. That's like me all of a sudden becoming president. That would be terrifying. And yet, God tells Joshua, "Do not be afraid, because I am with you." God is with us. We have nothing to fear. But evangelism is scary. Evangelism is uncomfortable. But I don't necessarily think we were called to be comfortable, right? Luke 9:23, Jesus kind of lays out what it means to be a disciple, to be a follower of him. He says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." So deny yourselves, take up your cross daily. That's kind of this idea of denying or dying to yourself, your own desires, your own wants, your own needs. So I think sometimes that means being uncomfortable. It's kind of the fan or a follower illustration, right? A fan of Jesus, an enthusiastic admirer of Jesus, just kind of cheering him on when it's convenient, or a follower, a completely committed follower of Jesus who does everything for Jesus, who allows Jesus to interfere in his or her life. Evangelism is scary, but you have nothing to fear. Evangelism is uncomfortable, but you can find comfort in the Lord. Another reason we might not spread the gospel with everything in our power, another reason I don't spread the gospel with everything in my power, is that if we make a decision to do so, to spread the gospel, spread your faith with everything in your power, to be a completely committed follower of Jesus, people may not like you. People may even hate you. That's kind of tough, right? I don't want anyone to hate me, but suffering for your faith is a thing. Peter says to expect it. 1 Peter 4, he says to expect to face hostility for your faith. But he also says that the Lord blesses you when you suffer for your faith. Embrace suffering. Rejoice in suffering. That's a common theme, a common idea throughout the New Testament, throughout the Bible in general, is to embrace suffering, rejoice in suffering. Luke 6:22, he says it. He says, let me find it. Luke 6:22, he says, oh, that's not it. Or is it? There it is. Luke 6:22. "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." And then he goes on to say that rejoice when that happens, because your reward is in heaven, right? The truth is, the time we spend on this earth is so short. The suffering that you might endure for God on this earth is so insignificant compared to the eternity you will spend with God in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:17, one of my favorite verses, I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. It says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Embrace suffering. Rejoice in suffering. And when your response to this suffering is love and compassion, or when your response to the hatred is love and compassion, that's when evangelism is most effective. But suffering is a thing. Ask the 12 disciples, with the exception of Judas. I think we know that story. And John, who just passed away peacefully. The other 10 are thrown in prison. They're persecuted. They're executed, crucified. It's tough stuff. When I spoke at youth, I went down the list of each disciple and how historians believe they died. I'm not going to do that. It was kind of rough. But go Old Testament. Look at Daniel. Daniel, perfect example of living a godly life in the workplace. I mean, he was a government official. Like, he was on the king's court. He was up there. He was respected by important people. And yet he served the Lord in everything he did. They made a decree that said nobody can pray to anybody or anything but the king. And yet Daniel stayed true to his faith, and he suffered for it. He continued to pray to God, and they threw him in a lion's den. He made it out okay, but he suffered for his faith. Look at the Apostle Paul. His life is a testament, really, to suffering. You know, he's persecuting Christians. Divine revelation radically changes his life. He now spends the rest of his life traveling the known world, doing missions, spreading the gospel, just going into towns, preaching the gospel. Some people hating him for it, chasing him out of the town, just moving on to the next town. You read Acts; it's just going on over and over again. He's flogged, he's beaten with rods, he's stoned, he's shipwrecked, he's imprisoned several times. And if all that's not bad enough for you, he's eventually killed. And all of that just to spread the love of Jesus Christ. I mean, he risked his life for this. Let's be honest, I'm not risking my life by telling my friend about Jesus. Paul risked his life. He lost his life. Like life. Forget reputation. Forget image. Forget what people think about you. Paul lost his life. And this whole persecuting Christians thing, that's not just a first century practice. I mean, that happens in the world today. There are places in the world where Christians are persecuted. They're even killed for what they believe and for trying to spread those beliefs. That's just kind of a testament to the opportunity we have in the place we live to spread the gospel. There are places in the world where this would be illegal. I watched a sermon where a pastor talked about a trip he took to China where Christianity was illegal, where Christians are persecuted and even killed for what they believed. And he gets there and he says it's like an underground system of churches. And so he gets there and he says, you know, these people are into it. Like, these people are serious about this. And he gets there and he's like, where are all the casual Christians? Like, where are all the people just casually doing this? And they said, you know, they don't exist here. Like, here people are killed for what they believe. No one is casually doing this. But we have such an opportunity in the place we live to spread our faith, to spread the gospel. When I spoke at youth a month ago, I ended with a challenge. We always do a challenge at youth group, and the challenge was for everyone, for all the students, to carry their Bibles around school. And then I spoke at FCA and kind of extended that challenge to FCA to carry their Bibles around school. And it wasn't like a revival of people carrying their Bibles. I wish I could say that, but there's maybe less than 10 people, I don't know, carrying their Bibles. But kind of just a core group of students carrying their Bibles with a hope and with an expectation that people will approach us about it, to give us opportunities to share our faith. And that's a scary thing, but it's a necessary thing. I'm not saying everyone carry your Bibles. I'm just saying, you know, what is a way that we can, in our workplaces or in our schools or in our community, share the gospel? What if we did everything in our power to spread the gospel? And I know there are restrictions on religion. I know there are restrictions in the workplace, or there are restrictions in the schools, or there are restrictions in the community, but there are no restrictions on God. What if we did everything in our power to spread the gospel? How would our lives be different? How would our How would our church be different? How would our community be different? If we did everything in our power to spread the gospel, the greatest news ever, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the place we live and this opportunity we have to worship you here safely and to spread the gospel, Lord. No one in this room is perfect. I know that I'm guilty of sin. I mess up all the time, Lord. But we thank you for the greatest news ever, that you love us so much that you sent your Son to die for us, for our sins, Lord, and that you want a relationship and intimacy with us, God. We thank you so much for that, and we praise you for that. But I know that I have not done my responsibility of spreading that faith to other people, Lord. I ask that you would give us the power to spread the gospel to other people. Give us the courage to take action in the words to say. Even though evangelism is scary, God, we have nothing to fear because you're with us. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. We praise you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.